Well, it's almost Happy New Year time. Yeah, it sure is. This is December 31st, 2013. And I got Robert with me.
Hey!
Everybody loves Robert. It just can't be happy times without Robert. Ah, the crowd is going crazy. And I don't know if they're just celebrating the end of the new year or if they're celebrating we're actually doing another show together. Yeah, I think they just like both of them. What do you guys think? Is it Robert? Well, I don't know. Or is it just the end of the new year? It's hard to tell. Anyway, come on, guys. Settle down. We do have a show to do today here. And one guy was in the other day and he says, you know, he says, I'm listening to other people cheering. Then they just stop. I said, yeah, I just waved my hand and they all just automatically stop. I said, we have a studio audience. And I brought him in and I showed him where the studio audience sits over here. He was laughing.
He says,
Frank, you're just weird.
Wow, that's funny.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just me. What could I say? Anyway, Robert.
Got to have a good time with it.
Welcome to December 31st.
Time to start a new year.
Oh, man. At least this year is ending up great. I mean, I got to tell you, you know, the last 3 years for me have been a little iffy. And I'm finally having a year that actually started out really horrible. I mean, I thought I was going to die. It was crushing. And then all of a sudden, now everything's fine. Actually, pretty cool.
I'm glad you didn't.
Yeah, well, I mean, just mentally, I don't think. But mentally, who knows, maybe I did.
Mentally, physically, either way, you're here and you're on your A game, and it's a good thing.
Oh, no, I've been having a good time.
It's a very good thing.
This was the best holiday season to work in this store yet. We've had some amazing holiday season, but I think this was the best one ever.
Everyone was phenomenal. I mean, it was really, really, really good. Handful of people that didn't get what they wanted were super understanding. One or two that were very disappointed but still understood it. You know, it was pretty incredible.
And
the food that was brought to us. I mean, everything. It was just nice to see people happy and getting along in here compared to all the chaos that you heard in other stores
went through. Because here we are. People walk through the door, and it's just like the stress level just goes away.
And it was nice. It was just really, really impressive.
They come in, they hang out, they're laughing, they're talking, they're talking to each other. The part that impressed me this year was how many people helped other people find what they want or advised them on what they want. We've got, I was watching one guy over here by the DOAs, and he's standing there looking. Another guy's standing, he's got two in his hand. The guy says, what you trying to do? And looking to catch some trout and redfish. And he goes, oh, man, you got to try this one. And they're talking about them and showing them the different ways to rig it up. And it was just so cool this year. I literally had more fun in here. I mean, now, don't get me wrong. Love being home with the family and all that. But I got to tell you, on just a happy holiday level, I don't think you could beat what happened in here this year.
No, not at all.
Crazy amount of fun.
It was very, very neat.
I'm sorry, guys. Yeah, it's catching up to me. I'm so tired, I can't hardly see. I think the weird part was I just didn't want to stay away this year. I really wanted to be in here. I wanted to, you know, be around the people. And it was so contagious, the whole holiday atmosphere. And now we're sitting here, New Year's Eve. And it's a nice, quiet day. Cold, cloudy, you know. It doesn't really look like rain, but it feels like it's going to rain. You know?
Yeah.
And a little bit of a chill in the air, and everything's kind of mellowed out. And it probably won't be that way later in today. It's going to get, hopefully, just as crazy as it was yesterday. We had a great time in here yesterday. But just as a weird word, thank you guys for your great attitudes, your understanding, your help. The suggestions you've made, and we're trying to get them all implemented, and we're working on finding places to put some more little walls so we can expand on some of the products that Robert just gave me that look like, oh my God, you're going to do what? Yes, Robert, I'm planning on another 5 pounds of stuff for our 3-pound bag.
Perfect.
Yeah, we're only up. We've only got 20 pounds of stuff in this 3-pound bag, so we're gonna expand it. Yes, yeah. I don't know how, but it's been a great season. I couldn't ask for a better way to wrap up the year. Had all the big bills to pay, and the bills are gone. Don't have a lot of money left, but hey, got a little bit of money left, and the bills are paid. What a way to end up. You know, we got robbed this year. We've had all kinds of other stuff. And one of the things that happens when you get robbed, you kind of look around the store, and you're like, okay, let's see. Now, how else could somebody get in? And you go to the back wall of the store, and you put your finger on it, and you go, tap, tap, and the hole falls, you know, the part of the wall falls in, and you're like, well, I guess that's not as secure as it could be. Thank God they were, you know, I mean, they're drug addicts, so, you know, drug addicts are, they wouldn't have been stealing if they weren't drug addicts, but they wouldn't be in jail and get caught if they weren't drug addicts, because anyway, at that point, you could have just walked up to the back wall and gone, okay, here, I'll make a little hole right here and tap the wall out with your hand. Now we've got double layers of everything. Greg went in, everybody kind of came to my rescue and helped me rebuild the whole back of the store. We've got, you know, inside, outside, bait tanks, water delivery systems,
cameras everywhere, outside, inside.
We've got cameras on the roof, cameras where you can see them, cameras where you don't see them. We got 14 cameras in the store, and I think I got 9 outside, plus motion sensors and laser beam trip sensors. And it wasn't just replacing the product, I think, that hurt my economy so much, but it was buying all the darn security system.
Yeah,
I spent so much money on security and replacing product that by the end of the year, and then I bought all that extra product, I really got stupid, really scared the hell out of myself, scared the heck out of myself. I didn't think I was gonna, I thought, well, some of the bills are gonna be a little late, but we made it thanks to you guys. Any kind of great points about 2013?
There was a lot of them. I mean, just a lot of them. Everyone coming in.
Well, let's go to the fishing. Okay, we've been lamenting about how wonderful it is, yeah, and how, I mean, great just, we are, and how, you know, and I know
we're just lucky. I mean, we busted our butt. You and I really worked hard to get the customers in here, get the women to feel comfortable to come in here to shop for themselves and shop for their husbands, and that's showing.
I'm amazingly proud of how many guys come through this store, but I do brag that we have the highest percentage of women and children shopping at this store than any other bait shop in the United States.
Yeah. I would say
there's
that
so many kids come
accurate
through here. And I guess I don't know if I should be proud of it or not, but I'm unbelievably proud of, this is the first store so many kids have come into on their own. Little tiny kids, you can't even see, you know, not even nowhere near as tall as the counter with a bait bucket, come in and get their shrimp and their money, and they go back out to the vehicle. Mom or dad's waiting out in the car.
Yeah, and it's pretty awesome. It's awesome to watch and to know that the parents feel comfortable enough to let them come in here and know that they're going to get taken care of and treated.
And when you look at this collection of oddballs we got here,
exactly.
Mean, where did we inspire confidence? I mean, I guarantee that kid's safer walking in this door than anywhere in the world. I mean, absolutely, anybody would die for them. But, you know, when you look around, this ain't no boutique. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Oh, I got to tell you. But, yeah. Let's go, though. What were the highlights of the fishing this year?
The highlights of the fishing for me or in general?
Let's start with you. What were the highlights of, for you in 2013? What was the fish this year?
To be honest with you, probably one of the funnest things to do this year was going out and tagging some of the sharks. You know, getting to track.
Were you with the big research boat?
This year it was with Moat. Okay. Robert Moore was doing some research with Moat tagging sharks, and we got to go out and tag some black tips, some bull sharks, and hammerheads, and just to be a part of that and see what it's about and everything else, because sometimes science bothers me a little bit, and sometimes the realities of things bother me a little bit. So to get to see the inside of how it works and everything and just be a part of it was really, really, really cool.
And it was a good thing. That was the better part of it. We've been involved in a lot of science where we've looked at it and go, you know what, we're not going to be a part of this. This is wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Science sometimes is more about politics than it is the actual end result. And to be a part of that and see that in a different manner and a positive aspect was really kind of cool. Yeah. And plus, got to see some really, really neat things. And, you know, I like to observe the fish and tear it apart mentally and look at it and learn new things and try to better myself as a fisherman, but also be able to better myself to educate people on how to fish. And seeing that stuff helped a lot.
But you've been, you've done so many, you've done a lot of crazy things. If you had to pick, did you see any fish that was just strikingly unusual or learn any new thing this year?
I learned that I'm not ready for a harness yet.
I have no idea what that means, but is that something that we should talk about on the radio? Or
no.
Is this, okay, what happened?
A failure with a reel with the line digging in.
Okay, you had a monster shark.
That big hammerhead.
Big hammerhead.
And the line dug in and jerked me to the gunwale of the boat, and line broke, and I fell inside of the boat instead of out of the boat.
Well, that was a lucky guess, or a lucky bet.
Yeah.
So here you've got, you finally hook up your monster, your 20-foot hammerhead.
It was about a 13, 14-footer.
Okay. I was trying to give you the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, I'm not going
to
exaggerate. It was okay. It was still a lot bigger than me.
And
but that was definitely probably one of my scarier moments.
Little line snafu because didn't take that time to do the proper cross wrap, huh?
No, it still dug in. The cross wrap was there.
You had to cross wrap, and she's
cross wrap
still dug
there,
it.
Still dug in.
Had to be a male.
I don't know.
Yeah, the males are like that. You get those big females. They're with the sharks. The big females, they're heavier, and you know, they really pull well, but they don't have that crazy aspect to them. They don't have that psycho aspect. And in one aspect of the animal kingdom, the female's a little more calmer, and the male just goes nuts. I mean, really, when you hook up on a big male hammerhead, you've got a fight on your hands.
Yeah.
You know, have you noticed that when they break the records, it's all about the females?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, anyway, so
I mean, there's a lot of different highlights of the whole year, though. In general, it's just that, you know, I'm honestly so damn lucky. Pardon me, with the things that I get to do in here and learn in here and see in here, that sometimes you forget some of those things.
Well, that's what I was trying to do, is get you to remember them and actually talk about them here.
It's that's one of those things where you're sitting back just in nowhere land and they all pop into your head about how many things I've gotten to do this year. I mean,
well, you were in Costa Rica for a while, went on vacation.
Yeah, got to hang out with my best friend down there and his wife, and that was phenomenal.
Now, he should be able to listen to the show, right?
Yeah.
So why don't you wish him Happy New Year and a belated Merry Christmas?
Happy New Year and a belated Merry Christmas, Felicia and Loyal.
Okay, there you go. Felicia and Loyal. Now, this was your best buddy in Arizona. You grew up in Arizona.
Uh-huh.
And Robert worked in one of the largest reptile centers in the United States, handling all these crazy poisonous and non-poisonous. I mean, but just some crazy stuff. I got to tell you, I've seen pictures and heard the stories. But him and his buddy Loyal used to go out snake hunting in the desert, right?
Yeah.
Scorpions, snakes. If it was nasty and cold-blooded, that was all about you guys.
Absolutely.
Walking around the middle of the night in the desert trying to find this stuff.
Yeah.
And so you came to Florida, became the fish guru, and he ended up moving to Costa Rica to run like a lumber camp, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a renewable resource, basically. They're growing teak trees instead of native stuff that can be destroyed. They try to grow something that's very fast-growing and relatively easy to grow that has a huge economic resource, too.
Well, basically, it's like growing corn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to be able to grow it, sell it, and make money at it. That's
right.
What everybody needs. And if guys like Loyal who go down there and they have the expertise, he's kind of another Robert. He just knows everything about all this other everything. And they're trying to get so that they don't have to chop down forest to get the trees. They're actually growing them as crops.
Right.
That's why
buying old farmland and cattle property and old agricultural properties and stuff that's already been harmed and replanting both native plants and the teak trees.
Well, you know, it's kind of like here. I always encourage people to buy a real Christmas tree. because that encourages the economy. You've got a guy growing them, a guy hauling them, a person selling them. There's just a lot of people all the way up and down the line that rely on those trees. And when they're growing trees, the more people buy real Christmas trees, the more trees that are grown, the more oxygen in the air, and it just helps us all the way around. Plastic tree does nothing but hurt everything. And I get why you do it. I have a plastic tree downstairs, so I'm not saying that you're a bad person if you have a plastic tree, but I'm saying if you do have the option or the little extra money, get a real tree, help everything from the planet, the environment, the economy. Real trees are the bomb. And it helps. If you're cutting down trees, people are growing trees. That's the cool part. My daughter has a big Christmas tree thing on there. I don't know how many hundreds of acres they got, but, you know, she's the one with money. You know? Every family's got to have one, you know, and then right. She's got the poor folk down here. But back to it. Now, on the fishing, it's been a great year for fishing on and off. We've had a really, really good year, almost as good as 2000. 2000, 2001 were some of the best years I had ever seen for fishing. And we rivaled a little bit of that this year. We had some phenomenal fish caught.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, the fishing in general overall was incredible. Certain species were not as strong as years past, but consistent the whole time through, rather than spotty of phenomenal crappie.
What species? Go ahead.
Tarpon. Okay. Tarpon this year were a little off. They were consistent, but there was no like super high spikes, and there was no super low spikes with them.
Right, but you had all those lunatics out there. You know, we've got the whole lunatic fringe that hangs out in the Boca Grande area. They're just absolute psychopaths.
I don't even worry about them.
No, but I'm saying I think a lot of that caused Blade. That mellowness because so many people just are not going out there anymore.
Right.
Just, you know, why bother? Why put up with the psycho crazies? Hopefully they're just going to go fade away into the woodwork and, I don't know, go away.
Right.
Fishing should be fun, entertaining. And when you're on a charter, the whole thing should be about catching your people fish, hooking them up, having a good time. And as long as you're not doing anything that's harming the resource, what difference does it make?
Create,
have a good time.
Create great memories and keep people fishing, keep children interested in it so they're involved in the outdoors more. Whether they like fishing or not, as long as it gets them interested in the outdoors in some aspect.
Because people,
you want to make it as positive as possible.
And people need to buy fishing licenses, need to buy hunting licenses. This is where the money comes to actually take care of all these fish and take care of all this stuff. We need to spend money to keep this going. And the best way to do that is literally with your fishing and hunting licenses. The duck stamps, duck hunters save ducks. Tarpon fishermen, and that's why I was so against this whole taking away the tarpon tag. They would sell tarpon tags, and only a couple of them were used. And so that was money being spent. And if you had a whole group of people out there all buying a tarpon tag, and the money's being spent, money for research, money for science and all this other stuff, that's the key to doing anything in today's world. If there's nobody there to spend the money on it, it's going to go away. And just the way things are, you know. So, yeah. But tarpon fishing to me this year, I enjoyed the tarpon season because so many people were fishing the beaches. There was so many up here in the harbor. They were fishing the bridges. They were fishing the harbor, the holes, the area along the sandbars. And the tarpon were cooperating. There was a lot of people hooked up.
Yeah, they were cooperating real well. It's just that usually each year you have certain species that have their super high spikes, you know, where you get like a 3 or 4 week window where everyone could go out and do it and have phenomenal time, and it never seemed to happen with the tarpon this year, where it just kind of stayed a nice, even plateau.
I don't know.
Consistent.
Captain Kale was catching tarpon, so I'm going to say it was a pretty good year. That's for you, Kale. Oh, I love him to death, but I got to get him every once in a while.
Right?
So tarpon season was kind of mediocre, and that's kind of the peak of our season down here.
Right.
And then we went through the summertime, huge amounts of rain this year, just tons and tons of rain. And we were calling, okay, the fishing's going to get bad. It's not going to be good. And then all of a sudden, we found out that when you're getting a moderate amount of rain, it darkens the water up. The sun hits that brown, dark water. The water gets really hot, and the fish all move out. Well,
right.
This year, saltwater fish don't mind that fresh water too much.
Right.
But this year there was so much water, so much clouds, that all of a sudden here they are, and it never got hot. The fish never left. It was like being in the 80s or the 70s, where the fishing stayed good all summer long. I mean, great in a lot of aspects in the summer. The water was completely fresh, very little salt, and yet the fish were here. They were biting. They were cooperating.
Oh, yeah.
The water never got above 85.
Yeah, the redfish were unbelievable numbers this year. The pompano were here off and on all summer. There was even flounder being caught off and on all summer.
Well, the flounder are coming back because in June of 1995, we had a massive rain. And the rain only lasted 2 hours, but we had like 18 inches in 2 hours. And it was one of the reasons nobody wanted that landfill up above Shell Creek and up there. Not because I was against the landfill, just because of that particular spot. In June of 1995, we had 18 inches of rain in 2 hours, blew out bridges, there was 4 or 5 feet of water on a lot of the roads. I mean, everything, it, just 2 hours, the life changed. We had over a foot of water running through the store, and that was what wrecked the docks at Liverpool. And when you go up to Liverpool, you can see all the pilings pushed up together and all that. But that destroyed the habitat for the flounder down here and the sawfish. When the flounder left, the sawfish left. Right. And we had a 2-year drought back about 4 years ago. And that 2-year drought, I mean, there was no water in Cape Coral. Their canals were drying up. They didn't know how they were going to fight a fire. But that 2-year drought cleaned up the water. There was no rain coming down. We had no rain all summer that year. And so the harbor got clear. The water was super clear. You could see down 10, 15 feet in the harbor easily. Photosynthesis allows plants to grow. We had all the seagrass come back, and now the flounder are back. The sawfish are back. The one thing I haven't seen is the guitar fish and a couple others like that. We have stargazers coming back.
The skates you don't hardly see anymore either.
But we've only got a couple species we're not seeing, but sawfish we're seeing a ton of. By 75, by Emerald Point out there in the flat. I mean, all around the harbor, all the normal, usual suspects. We have a lot of sawfish. We have a lot of flounder coming back. It's been getting better every year. This was a banner year on sawfish and flounder. And you have to release the sawfish. They're protected now. But I do remember the day when we would go out and actually fish for them like you would black tips or anything else. Great eating fish. But to see all these fish coming back has been great. And 2013 was a great year on both.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Three of the Gulf flounder records have been set right here in Charlotte Harbor.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was kind of funny because everybody who got the record, and I don't remember which one ended up with it, had Alan in their name. It was Alan Ogle, Alan Rubin, and I don't know, but there was three golf records set, but all three of the guys who won it, who bumped the previous ones out, I don't remember who holds the record right now, whether it's Ralph Allen, Alan Rubin, or I don't know. But anyway, you know what I mean. I got lost on a thought there. That was just dumb. But anyway, just to let you know, a lot of flounder and good flounder fishing. Even right now, still on the inside of Boca Grande between the phosphate dock and out, there's some great flounder fishing there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's been pretty interesting. I mean, the fishing in general overall, I think, was pretty incredible this year. The mangrove snapper, I mean, this was the year of the mangrove snapper inshore and offshore.
Morris Campbell just came in with a limit of mangrove snappers, and they were all 3, 5, 6 pounds.
And all caught inshore.
All caught inside. And there's some great mangrove snapper fishing to be had. Talking to Josh, tons of little trout out here. But we're going to be running out of time here in just a second. And we'll be back in a little while with a fishing report, not just a nonsense, okay, let's talk about what happened in 2013 show. This is news. So
yeah, but it's good to say some of the highlights. You know, most people tend to focus on a lot of the negative things of 2000 or whatever.
Not me.
No, but I mean in general, they want to talk about rumors, they want to talk about crap, and you know, to make a spin on talking about some of the more positive things. is a heck of a lot better than most of the other stuff you hear out there.
Well, I'm happy. Happy, happy, joy, joy, happy. You know, right? This has been a great year for me. I mean, it didn't start out so good. I was wondering if everything was going to work out, but I got to tell you, everything worked out. Happy, 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 joy, joy. Doing the Meatballs Dance of Joy. But, you know, it's all been pretty good.
Yeah.
One of the big things I saw this year, tremendous amount of newcomers coming down. The economy picked back up. A lot of houses going cheap down here. Everybody says, oh, the houses are going cheap. And real estate agents, these people need to be flogged at the public post. But a lot of houses sold. A lot of people moving down. A lot of people buying winter homes. And they're just having a ball.
Absolutely.
I mean, it just, these people go out and the fishing is so unique here. And the biggest thing is, of course, you don't know what to do. Of course, you don't know where to go. This is a brand new thing. Well, I'm really good at home. Well, yeah, you grew up there. You started fishing there when you were six.
Right.
And you fish there. You're now 50-some years old. You've got 40-some years worth of learning where the fish are, what they do, and how they do it. And it's all good, but to be quite honest, it's kind of like me and you. We kind of know where to go and what to do, and maybe it'll work, maybe it won't, but we're pretty sure what we're going to do when we leave.
Right.
But when you get somebody, remember that going out and all of a sudden that harbor opens up. You get around, you're coming out of the area up here by the bridge, and all of a sudden you're around Punta Gorda, and this big, massive body of water opens up. You got the west wall on one side, you got all those keys on the east side, and you go, where do I go? Oh, my God, this place is huge. And now you got to figure out, well, am I going to bar? You go to the reef? You're going to, you know, how do I get here? What's this? Oh, I heard of Muddy Bay. And where is that? And, you know, it's so exciting because the names are kind of exotic. You know, we've got Pig Branch. We've got the Elephant's Butt, Hobbs Point, Cormorant Key. You know, you hear of all these names, Cape Hayes. And, you know, just think about the first time you ever heard of Cape Hayes, and all of a sudden now you're there.
Yeah.
And it's like, I can tell you, it's beautiful. And it's weird because that's where all the sloppy water is. Not that it's bad, but, I mean, it is. You're going around Cape Hayes, that's where you're going to get beat up if you're going to get beat up. Somewhere
right.
or another, the wind and the waves and the sea gods all conspire to make Cape Hayes sloppy a lot of times. But then all of a sudden you're inside of the bar, and there's trout in the hole. There's snook up against the mangroves. Pretty cool stuff.
Oh, yeah.
This is an exciting place to learn. It really is.
Absolutely. Main thing is, take your time with it. Just like it took you years to learn another area where you grew up, and you come here, you're in a new spot. So what? Just
but it's
take
the fun
your time
of learning.
And learn it.
It's all new. It's an adventure. It's cool. It's not like, okay, well, we're going to go over here, you know, because I've been fishing there for 40 years. You get to learn all these new spots, all these new places, see all this new stuff. And then you're driving along the harbor, and a spotted eagle ray or leopard ray, whatever they call it, comes shooting out of the water and goes up 6-8 feet in the air, does a backflip and slams down, or a big tarpon comes up. And it's like watching one of those missiles come out of a submarine, you know, when they show it on TV where the missile comes shooting up out of the water. And then all of a sudden it falls over with the big spray and everything. There's so many cool things to see. Or just blue crabs and stingrays going around on the bars while you're drifting. This is an amazing place.
Oh, yeah. We're very, very lucky.
So, anyway.
It's nice to share it with people.
Yeah. And it's the fun of learning. That's the thing most people forget. It's not the same old. There is so many things. You can go over here and go bass fishing. You can go crappie fishing, you know, get that taste of home, and then you can swing right back out in the flats and do the snook, redfish, trout. You can go in the Gulf and do king mackerel and grouper and all these other things. There's so many things all in this little area.
Yep.
It's not perfect, but it's pretty damn interesting.
Yes,
so,
it is.
Anyway, Robert, who are you going to wish Happy New Year to?
Everybody.
Oh, give me a break.
Everybody.
You
Happy
have,
New Year to you, Frank.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for the wonderful year. Thank you for everything that you do for everyone here in the shop and all the customers and the community itself.
Yeah.
Hey,
okay.
I know. You like to be the spotlight a lot of times, but a lot of times you don't like to hear it. And that you do so much for the community and everybody in here that you deserve a good thank you and a good pat on the back because you're
well,
pretty
well, I appreciate it.
Pretty
but
darn
I'm thinking more
person.
Of your mom in Arizona, your cousins in what, Washington State?
Oh, Jesus. Everywhere.
Everywhere. You went to pick, family reunion, pick, and they're everywhere.
One. Yeah, exactly. Pick a state. I think they're in just about every one of them.
But now, you do have a couple of relatives, a godfather, mm-hmm. A couple of uncles, and some cousins, and your aunt in California.
Mm-hmm.
And so, at least take a minute, say Happy New Year to some of them.
Happy New Year to all the family out there. There's too many of them to list. Actually, I just want my mom to reduce her stress level, and hopefully her two sisters get better. Yeah, so
well, that's
I want them to get better and be all good.
Christy.
Oh, yeah, my wife.
Christy. You have an adorable wife. I mean, she is just the cutest little thing.
Yeah, my little hermit for a wife that... Once you get her out, she's phenomenal. Getting her out is like pulling teeth.
But
that one.
Yes.
No, Merry New Year and all that good stuff.
Merry New Year, yes. Yeah. I got you flustered on that one. He's going, okay. And I know Christy is the love of your life, but it's just, it's nice to get you on the spotlight every once in a while.
Thanks. Throw me under the bus and back it up.
Well,
take a little air out of the tires so it hurts more.
Well, I just need you to get that rim shot. You know?
Nice.
So anyway, we're gonna unthrow you under the bus because I see the producers are waving the flags at me. We're running out of time. And Fish and Frank and my best friend Robert, and we've been working together almost 16 years?
16 years in May.
16 years. It's been a heck of a ride.
It's been phenomenal.
So, as a closeout, not quite a closeout, because we actually, you're going to hear more from us, because we're going to do a fishing report here in just a little while, but we just wanted to play for a while. Anyway, Fish and Frank, Robert.
Thank you.
Happy New Year, guys. We'll be back.